Second Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we committing ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you reason to be proud of us so that you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, God's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Then into chapter 6, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. And that's the New Living Translation. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. But today I want us to focus on three ways we can be Christ's ambassadors to get out the message that people are to come back to God. And those three ways are to pray, to give, and to go. First, let's focus on praying. As we pray for the Lord to send more workers to share the message. Jesus himself taught this as is recorded in Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. I think sometimes we often do this and we immediately think of missionaries that go overseas, and I think that's a part of it. But I think it can be easy for us to become comfortable in our relationship with God and forget that one of the things he asks each of us to do is to share the good news with those around us. In a sense, each of us have a harvest field that we work in. And I think the beautiful thing there is, you all know people I will never meet. You can get into places I could never go into. And so if it's up to, well, let the preacher go out and tell them. The preacher doesn't know everybody. The preacher can't go everywhere. But there are lost people around us that need to hear and need someone to be that ambassador for Jesus. Now, does that mean I'm saying you should go around your office and show up at everybody's cubicle and say, do you know Jesus? Well, I don't know. Maybe that, if God tells you to do that, do that. But generally, it's you get a chance to build relationship with them. You get to know them. It always was thrilling to my heart, especially the years when Kelly was an OR nurse, that First of all, she used her influence because sometimes the doctors didn't always use the greatest or the most polite language. And she would just simply look at them and say, excuse me, that's not being very professional. I don't care to hear it. But most of them knew she was a pastor's wife. Most of the time they would back off and try and watch their language. But at the same time, it didn't take very long when people started having problems. They would come to her and say, would you pray for me? They may not be real interested at that moment to hear the story about Jesus, but they felt like, hey, I know somebody who's got a connection with God. And just as you live your life and you're there and you become the answer to Jesus' prayer here for more workers in the harvest. And again, I think most of that witness is through our lifestyle, but I'm probably not the most bold person in the world, but just ask the Spirit to help you. That's what I have to do. In some way, when that the Lord opens the door, and I might even just be that quick prayer, okay, Holy Spirit, is this an opportunity for me to speak up for the sake of the gospel? And if the Spirit says no, and sometimes he does. We haven't got there yet in Acts, but there comes a time when Paul's trying to figure out, okay, Lord, where do you want me? And he tries to go here, and the Spirit says, nope, don't go there. So he keeps moving around. Interesting story. We'll get to that here in a couple of weeks, Lord willing. But if the Lord says yes, then be ready. Doesn't mean you have to have a three-point sermon. Most of the time you can just share, hey, this is what I've discovered about God in my life. And there they can't necessarily argue with you about theology or, well, I'm not talking about, you know, being in a certain church. I'm just talking about this is how I've experienced God. They may not necessarily agree with you, but it's harder to argue, well, that's not what the Bible says. Eventually you will bring Scripture into it, but a lot of times it's just your experience can open that door. So first, we pray for more workers. Second, we pray for opportunities to share the message and that those who hear it will have open hearts. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul writing to the church there, and he asked them to pray for him, beginning in verse 3. He says, pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. This is why I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim this message as clearly as I should. One of the things that we pray for is that God, for those opportunities, what might our lives be a little different if every morning before we left the house we say, okay, Lord, give me an opportunity this day to talk to somebody about Jesus. And then be watching kind of the whole day. Okay, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a little paranoid or something or strange. But, okay, Lord, is this the person I'm supposed to talk to? Is this the person I'm supposed to talk to? But on the other hand, how many times, and I don't say this to be judgmental or anything, but quite honestly, sometimes we are just so busy going about our everyday lives that it's almost like, oh man, I mean, I'll be honest, I've walked away from opportunities, conversations, where it's like, oh man, Lord, I just had that sense, I should have said something, I should have witnessed to this person, but I wasn't ready and I was afraid, and Lord, if that was their moment, if that was that divine appointment you had for them and I missed it, Lord, send somebody else to be there. But often I think we miss those because we're not asking for them and we're not really expecting, or maybe we're not really wanting. Is it scary to talk about your faith? It can be. But we talk about everything else. So why can't we talk about Jesus? So, pray for the opportunities. Pray that their hearts would be open. And I think God does this. I think God sends us to people who he's already at work in their lives. And God sends us to water or plant, or we might get to be that person that actually gets to lead them to that relationship with the Lord. Now, in the sense of missions, our missions emphasis this week, I'm thankful that there are people. Our church supports about 17 different ministries, 18 ministries. One is a Bible college that helps prepare students to go into full-time ministry. But that's amazing for our church. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a moment. But our missionaries, if you'll talk with them, do they need our money? Yep, it costs them money to live. Every missionary I have ever talked to says, we need your prayers. That's why they covet our prayers. For that strength that they need from the Lord, for God to open up those opportunities for them. Sometimes in ways that they weren't even expecting. I shared last night about the water filtering project that has opened up so many doors for them to be able to go into villages and in a very practical way, help people out, show them compassion, and many times that gives them that opportunity, that door that opens up for them. Well, why are you doing this for us? Well, because Jesus loves you and so do we. And it opens that door for them. So here on the altar and on the table back there, I moved it into the sanctuary. Today what I'm going to ask you to do is, and maybe you already do this, that's wonderful if you already have. It's hard to pray for all 18 of them, and I don't know that it necessarily, I mean, yeah, we do. We have the prayer emphasis in the bulletin each week on the back. We cycle through all those and some more. Ask the Lord to lay one or two missionaries on your heart. Get one of their cards. Take it with you. And just make a fresh commitment today. Lord, I'm going to take time as part of my normal devotions, I'm going to try and remember to pray for them every day. Again, that'd be hard to do for 18 of them or more. And you guys probably, if you're like us, we have a lot more friends out there that are missionaries than just what our church supports. But for us as a church to take these that we have association with and partner with so many of them, and that if each one of us, as the Lord lays it upon our heart, that we will cover them with our prayers. Do I want you to give for them? Absolutely. But more importantly, that you would pray for them. So today when you head out, some of you can head up here, again, the table in the back, and put them in your Bible, put them with your daily devotional guide. We usually put ours on the refrigerator because I seem to spend a lot of time there. Why we give is to make it possible for them to fulfill the mission that God has called them to. See, Romans 10, verse 14 says this, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. I'm so thankful and grateful to be part of the Assemblies of God that part of the reason we were formed as a church was one of our key beliefs and things that drives us is that belief that not only that Jesus is coming soon, but that the gospel must be preached in all the world. That great commission that Jesus gave us is something that we must strive to do. And so as adults, missions is something we get to do for a lifetime. What we do is we're hoping, we do BGMC. Why? Because we're hoping that our kids and parents, this is where a great teaching tool for you and a great modeling tool for you. Why BGMC? Because at a very young age, they begin to get this understanding. We give so people can go. For our teens, we have Speed the Light. And we're going to talk a little bit about each of these programs. But we give so they can go. We teach our teens about why do we do, car washes and work at Pizza Ranch, which some things we're hoping to do next year. I'm going to be challenging our students to consider what they will do next year for Speed the Light. and help teach them that it's not just simply that, hey, how great it is that we get to know Jesus. Well, part of our job as followers of Jesus is to go into all the world and make disciples. Talking a little bit about Speed the Light, and Gregory, we're just going to do the first video on Speed the Light. If you're not familiar with that program, here's a quick overview of what Speed the Light does and why we want to get our teens excited about it.
God personally stepped into history when Jesus came. The gospel is about a God who values being present with us. What would happen if every Assemblies of God missionary had the transportation equipment they needed to be present with those who need to hear the gospel? You wouldn't see the missionaries without vehicles who walk miles each day providing medical supplies to an indigenous tribe. You wouldn't hear the sputtering of an old dying van filled with missionaries and their children returning home in the middle of the Sahara. You wouldn't have to imagine leaving war-torn refugees behind without a way to get home. The essential transportation you provide goes beyond four wheels. The transportation equipment is the foundation of a missionary's outreach. They are places of refuge and beacons of hope. When you give to Speed the Light, you are giving missionaries one of the best and most effective ways of making Jesus known in our world. Every country matters. Every heart matters. Every dollar matters. Speed the Light.
That's what Speed the Light helps to do. Provides vehicles and other equipment and methods and means for missionaries, once they get over there, to be able to do what they've been called to do. For the sake of time, I want to talk a little bit. I think most of us are fairly familiar with BGMC. This year, our kids chose to their goal was to raise $1,000 for BGMC. Through your giving, as adults, we send them. Through the giving of Speed the Light, we help equip them. BGMC also works on that. Speed the Light tends to focus more on vehicles. BGMC projects like this, printing presses, just tools that we can put into the hands of those we send to make it easier for them to share. See, giving, when we talk about giving, it begins with being obedient to God with the tithe, then moves to generosity as we give above and beyond the tithe to missions and other areas that help to build the kingdom of God. And God desires to grow us as we learn to live in obedience to Him and to bless us so that we can learn to be generous as He blesses us. 2 Corinthians 9 speaks to this, beginning at verse 6. It says, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever." And then verse 10, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." You decide what to give so you can give cheerfully as God generously provides what you need. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know if it's right for a pastor to have pride, but I am proud of this church, this congregation, and its generosity. We currently give $1,010 each month to support missionaries and ministries at home and abroad. For a church our size, that's pretty amazing. And as I mentioned earlier, we've already, through for the kids, praise the Lord, over $1,200 through BGMC. So let's rejoice at what God is doing to advance His kingdom through the generosity of this church. And then my prayer is this, is that we wouldn't stop there, but that we would just keep asking God, Lord, help us, teach us that generosity. Because the truth is that they're, you know, it's hard for me as a pastor when a missionary calls and says, yes, we'll let you come and we'll share and we'll take up an offering for you. But right now we're at that place where we're doing all we can and God has blessed us. But wouldn't it be wonderful with every new missionary that gets approved by the Assemblies of God? I mean, it's a big prayer, it's a big dream, but God's a big God, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could go in at the beginning of the year and talking with our district officials and saying, hey, we have two new cup families that are going to be approved for missionary service, and for our church to be one of the very first ones that say, hey, we can pick them up in monthly support because God has blessed us so much and our generosity. Now, again, I'm not going to go do that right off, but that's kind of my prayer. That's my dream, is that every Iowa missionary would be supported by this church. And then beyond that, to do even more on a local level for ministries and things that are going on here. So we pray, we give, and then real quickly, I'm going to cover go, because I've already talked about it some. See, go is just not for the full-time missionary. Go is for all of us who have experienced the love of Christ that transforms our lives so that we no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us. See, that's where we move away from the Americanism to biblical understanding. Unfortunately, so much of church, I think we've adapted so much to culture that we've almost made an American Christianity consumerism. Well, what does this church have to offer me? Well, we forget that the whole thing of Christianity is Christ died for us to give us life, that in a sense, we can die to ourselves and live for Him. Now, should the church offer things? Yeah, I think that's part of the discipleship that church is supposed to do. Are we to help one another? Absolutely. I think that's part of being the family of God. But God help us to get past the what's in it for me form of Christianity. Jesus changes our lives so that He can use us to change the lives of others as He transforms us. Does the love of Christ compel us to move beyond our comfort zones because we have a message for others that others need to hear? Does the love of Christ control us, allowing us to be intentional so we share the message? Does the love of Christ urge us on, enabling us to endure hardships and setbacks because we are convinced the message must go forth? Who do you know that needs to hear the message about Jesus? Somebody that's in your life or your sphere of influence. Someone you rub shoulders with, that you have a relationship already built with. Maybe not, you know, one of those buddies that you go out and, you know, play baseball with, or, you know, more, but somebody that you talk to, that you feel comfortable talking with, but you know they need Jesus. I'm asking each of us to ask the Lord to lay a person who needs to hear on our hearts, and that we commit to pray for that person, that God would begin to work in that person's heart and prepare that person to hear about Jesus. And then pray for the opportunity to share the message with that person, and pray that the Lord will help you share it clearly in a way the person can understand and respond to. The last challenge I have for us is this, and I'll be honest, it kind of, the first time I heard this, it kind of did a little twist in my heart. It's been suggested that we ask this question after we've had a chance to share the message of Jesus with a person. Is there any reason why you shouldn't accept Jesus as your Savior today? They said, make the ask. Now, if the Spirit tells you no, they're not ready, listen to the voice of the Spirit. But how many times do, in a sense, and I don't necessarily like the vernacular, but I think you'll understand it, how many times do you make the sales pitch but not ask for the sale? The ones who sell the most, they say, are they're good at asking for the sale. Can I write you up? And they start filling out the paperwork and you're going, whoa. Have you ever been with a salesperson like that? Now there's a little bit, there are times to feel a little bit pushy, but it's just like, well, why wouldn't you want to sign up? This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Maybe it is sliced bread, I don't know. But they make the ask. And yet, how many times when we share about Jesus, do we forget or fail to, hey, is there a reason today? And they may say yes. They may say, I need some time to. That's okay. There may be a reason why they're not ready to say yes to Jesus. The truth is the people that research this kind of stuff, most of them say that people will hear a presentation of the gospel 7 times before they're ready to say yes. There may be a reason why that person's not ready yet, but do we ask? So, compelled to pray, compelled to give, compelled to go. Let's pray. Lord, we do take a moment to lift up all of our missionaries, the 18 that we support, whether they're overseas or at home, and the various ministries, some that are ministering to single moms like the Sox. And Lord, seeing you transform lives of these single women and their children. And Lord, thank you for that. And for Trinity Bible College that is receiving those who have said yes to you to full-time ministry and preparing them to go out into this world with that message of Jesus. Lord, for those who are serving abroad and just the difficulties and challenges they face, and even those that are serving at home, sometimes we think, live in America. But Lord, so many of them are facing situations. We know we have friends whose daughter has gone out for training on how to combat human trafficking in our own country. So Lord, we say thank you for those who have said yes to your call to full-time ministry. And Lord, thank you that we have that privilege to partner with them as we pray and as we give, that they can be in the harvest field to which you sent them. And then Lord, help us, each of us, Lord, to recognize today that we have a harvest field as well, where we work. For some of us, it may be in our own homes. That God, you would help us to go with your message, that you would give us the wisdom and power of your Spirit. That Lord, as we begin to pray for that one, Lord, we're not seeking to save everybody today, but Lord, today we're asking you to give us that one person that you'll lay on our hearts. That Lord, you would give us such a burden for them that every day when we wake up, maybe the very first thing we think about is, Lord, reach my friend, reach my family member, reach my coworker, and Lord, use me to do it. That in the days to come, should you tarry, that you, as the Lord of the harvest, would gather in that harvest. And that you would build your kingdom against which the gates of hell cannot stand. And that in days to come, we will rejoice as we hear the stories and the testimonies here in our own church from individuals that say, my friend shared with me about Jesus and I gave my heart to him and God's beginning to change my family. And then Lord, from those overseas, God, we will hear those reports also. To your praise and to your glory, for that is why you came. To redeem people from every tribe, language, tongue, and nation. To make them a part of your kingdom. A kingdom that shall last forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.